far as the presentation outline goes, I'd like to just talk very quickly about some basic truths about the private sector as I see those, and then kind of look into the crystal ball and say, what are those future needs? Talk a little bit about flexibility and talent, what types of talent and training we think are required, and then ask the question, is the university entomology training aligned with the current and future needs? And then come up with some ideas on how we can do better. My background has been basically R&D within the private sector since I've begun working out of school. The last 6 years I've been involved in something called a talent team or an entomology talent team that we have. So I interact with students all the time and hopefully can give you some perspective on what we're seeing and the kind of talent that is coming out of the system. Some basic truths about the private sector, more from a business level perspective. It's very fast paced, it's mission oriented, it's very value focused and metric driven. So there's a lot of expectations for an endpoint in the research that's being done. Accountability for business development, a lot of customer focus drives how products are developed and what kind of products are developed. Projects all have timelines, critical paths, milestones, research budgets and things. So there's expectations, as I said, for an endpoint and some kind of conclusion to whatever research is underway. And obviously change is constant. I think that's probably universal. Relative to some things that are basic truths for more the employee level kind of situation, you know, scientists in private sector will work in more than one discipline, and it will be disciplines in addition to their chosen profession. It's just a fact of life in the things we do. We're typically going to perform more than one role or task. We very rarely get the luxury of just working on one thing. Nearly everything's going to be accomplished in teams, so as we look at talent that we hire into the private sector, being able to play well in teams is a good thing. And successes that are celebrated usually are the result of numerous individual projects and not a specific project. Another basic truth about the private sector is that we're a small family, entomologists are. And so we're going to basically know who those students are, who that talent is, long before we finally read a CV or resume or offer them a job. And new hires are very typically identified 1 to 2 years in advance of the time that we actually have a job opening. So we're screening talent as it comes through the system and tracking that and really doing a lot of recruiting and relationship building before we actually have a job opening. So what are the future needs as I see them? Basically, there's still a broad range of specialties that are going to continue to be needed. Everything from urban pest and IPM to human and animal health systems and agriculture. We're going to need expertise in both basic and applied, although right now I would stress upon you that there is a lack of students for the applied sciences. We need applied people, and that's in entomology, that's in plant breeding, that's in all of the disciplines, and we'll get to that in a minute. And there's going to be need for both lab and field-based assignments and programs. This is just kind of a generic chart. I won't mention what company this may have come from, but basically this is a demographic from 2006 that kind of shows you the distribution of R&D employees based on age and then the number of employees in those areas. And I don't think this is unique to the company that this represents. I don't think it's unique necessarily to the private sector, but this basically says that the future is very promising for those coming out with degrees in entomology. Nearly half of the people out there working right now are above the age of 50, and two-thirds of those are above the age of 45. So, you know, there's really good opportunity for new talent that's coming out of our university systems. I will not read this slide, but as we start talking about the kinds of jobs and where those are within the private sector, it's across all kinds of opportunities, and we've heard people talking about technology transfer and basic and applied programs, and you can see those are here, as well as sales and marketing for a lot of BS degree and master's degree folks. Flexibility and talent is going to be key, and it remains key. And this is flexibility in really several areas. Within the discipline, you know, we need to have entomologists have a wide array of interests. You know, someone coming out of school that wants to be an ecologist working on caddisflies, that's an admirable thing, but relative to being able to maybe find a job when they get out, you know, there needs to be flexibility in the interest relative to the science of entomology, and they need to be able to jump areas. You know, as we start looking for applied people, You'll see this in a future slide too. There's a good preponderance right now of folks in urban pest management and IPM kinds of training, and probably more of a need for folks in the field crops and some of the more ag-related disciplines. So a willingness to jump areas of expertise once you get out of school is also going to be very important. Flexibility in training. They need a diversity of work experiences, both in their undergraduate and graduate program, and they need a lot of cross-discipline knowledge. So collaboration with other departments and other functions as they go through their training and their program is going to be critical to them having some flexibility when they hit the ground in the private sector. Adaptability to change, you know, they're going to have to be willing to take on new challenges and new risks. So someone who's extremely risk-averse may not be the best choice for an industry-type setting, although I think those kinds of changes are really becoming more universal, as I've said, and they need to be able to embrace those changes. Those that survive in the private sector are going to be those that are the most adaptable. Relative to other things, some proficiency components. I had one, as I started to build this talk, one person told me, he says, we're looking for people that can design good experiments, can critically analyze those with some good statistical background, and then synthesize that data. Take what they've learned and match that up with what's in the literature, what other concurrent programs might be doing, and basically boil that down to what does it really mean. That's a very simple, basic thing that I think you probably all would say, well, we're doing that with our students. And I would argue that that may not really be the case. When we find this kind of basic training all in one package in one person, it's kind of a rare thing, at least to the level where we'd like to see it. We need some clear evidence of broad training. I think there's been some efforts within the university systems to try and broaden students, but just taking one class in another discipline or another area really doesn't get to that. It needs to be, you know, training in a kind of a substantial way where there's some hands-on or some actual work in the other discipline to help them broaden their experiences. So it has to be definitive. They're going to need molecular components, and I think anyone coming out of school right now needs to be able to talk molecular with other groups, chemists, other people, and they need to be conversant in those things. And you can see some of the other areas here that are always an advantage. Relative to this broad training and expertise, we've talked about molecular. Some good basis in chemistry and biochemistry is also important. But as I said, this hands-on experience, whether it's something that the student will actually do when they get out into the workforce or not. Having been in the lab and having done some assay tests, having been in the field and actually put plots out, even if they're going to have technicians later on that do that for them, having been there, done that, and understanding the basics is going to be important. They need to understand that art of experimentation as well as the science that goes along with it. You know, how does the method fit in? Is this really the right way to do this? And then have a strong foundation in statistics, as I have said. The other thing that really isn't trained or isn't taught much at the university level or the institutional level are some of these soft skills or what we call transferable skills. And because, as I said, based on that first slide, you know, you're not always going to be working in the discipline of entomology in the private sector, being able to have these kinds of skills that are and opportunities that are provided to students as they're moving through the system to kind of get some of this is going to be very important to being able to transition from one role to another in the private sector. I put this slide in a talk I did yesterday too, because when we start to look for people that we hire into the private sector, this is kind of our target descriptor of, if you could kind of sum up in one small place, you know, what the person is and what they represent. Standing out among his or her peers and competent and motivated, providing positive perspective on entomology in the chosen discipline and profession that understands how that research can improve agriculture or pest management and understands the critical issues of the future. So that's kind of what talent we really need. So the next question becomes, you know, is this university entomology training really aligned with what we see our needs as being? And the answer to that is yes and no. And you can see the statement here. When we start to find good students that we want to bring into our shop, they really aren't associated with a specific school. So as we recruit, we're not really going to, you know, this school or that school, and that's where we hire all of our folks. The good talent is coming out of really programs where you have a professor who has taken some students under their wing, or a program that happens to be strong. It's not really institutionally centric. So some observations then that I went back to my colleagues and asked about was, okay, tell me what you're seeing relative to institutions. And so, you know, reductions in program diversity seem to be very evident. Everything's gone basic and molecular. These are broad brush statements, and they're not always true, but just take them for what they're worth. Good students are the result of specific programs, as I said, and research projects, not necessarily departments. As strong extension programs disappear, so do the strong students in applied entomology. And we've talked a little bit about that already today, but the disappearance of strong extension programs, as we look back over time, that's where a lot of our good field people have come from in the past, and they've had the opportunity to see how that interacts at the farmer level or at the consumer level. Minimal support and flexibility for non-traditional students, I'll talk about that in a minute. Some critical thinking components that maybe are not being taught as effectively as they could. Transferable skills are rarely taught, as we talked about, and I had that list of transferable skills. And then attempts to broaden the student's training are often falling short, and it's because, as I said, you give them one class and you don't give them the hands-on to go with it. So some things there that we think could probably be a little better improved. From a student talent perspective, we think there's fewer entomology students overall. That may be something that we're just not observing correctly, but it seems to be something that's universal among our peers. A higher percentage of students are pursuing the basic sciences. There's currently a good abundance of urban pest management students, as I said, and we need to try and see if we can get some of those to, you know, have a little broader view of what might be available for jobs out there. Students are often too focused and specialized, and students are less active. And I think this is something that you could also argue against, but we seem to see fewer students at professional meetings that are actually presenting papers, seem to be going more to posters than papers. We seem to see fewer students that are actually involved in field days and going out and hanging out with those extension professionals at the university and getting that kind of perspective on things. We don't think the students are necessarily fully aware of the job market and how that relates to the training they're pursuing. As I said, as you have a lot of people coming out of more basic programs and the jobs are all applied, we need to make sure the students are aware of, you know, when they do finally finish up, what's going to be available for them and what might not be available for them. And then, you know, we want to make sure that they have a full set of these critical thinking skills, and I think that's often rare, particularly with the undergraduate degrees. With all of that said then, you know, what can be done to maybe better address the private sector stakeholders? And so this is a to-do list that we put together. And obviously, you know, we'll have lots of opportunity to argue about this as well. But some more calibration and balance between basic and applied programs, I think, is going to be very important. You know, rewarding the teachers and advisors that are delivering these excellent students at the end of the day. We need to find some ways to do that are something other than just a plaque and a pat on the back. There needs to be some real, I think, you know, rewards given to those that are cranking out good students. Reinvigorate the extension and IPM programs. And I don't know how we do that given the funding changes that are in place, but that is going to be critical, I think, to keeping a good pipeline of applied students. Ensure the critical thinking components are baseline expectations for every student and cultivate and develop transferable skills for both the faculty and the students. If you've got faculty that are doing good things relative to the way they communicate and the kind of leadership they do and the kind of way they play in teams, students are going to observe that, and in a mentoring way they're going to pick it up. So we think that's important. Support science broadening experience that are substantial, not just another class they take that's outside their normal discipline. And then impress upon the students the importance of flexibility. As we talk about that, then, I think there's some opportunity for flexibility within the institution. Building flexibility relative to some non-traditional students, I think, is going to be key. As we've looked at ways to maybe get a few more plant breeders into our organization, one way to do that is take a BS level person that's already working on a breeding station and take them back to school and have them work on a master's degree in plant breeding. Well, the same is true in entomology, but with that in mind, you have to have some flexibility in the way you collaborate on that plan of study for a student like that. You know, extensive offering of distance education programs, which are online at some institutions and not others, and then leverage training courses across institutions. You know, allow them to maybe get their training a little bit here and a little bit there and have it all count towards the degree. And then I think another thing that we're maybe missing out on is utilizing private sector adjunct appointments, graduate committee memberships, and invited lecturers to basically enhance the students' perspectives of what's going on in the private sector, what that job market looks like, how it's changing, what business environment's all about, and how science competency is really applied in a business setting. And that's it. Any questions?
Thank you.